We have a good number again this morning. It's glad to see everyone here and appreciate. We're glad to be back. I was very much relieved when we pulled in and it was shower and cool and that's all I could say. It was nice. It was just hot in the South. It's just hot. Tried to do some work and stuff around and just living is hot. Miserable. But John chapter 13, the lesson today is another one of the Who is Jesus lessons. What the names and titles of Jesus. And as we study, as we look, these things tell us something about him, about his nature. There are lessons for us there. And in this lesson is taken from John chapter 14. And we're beginning at John chapter 13. We're going to read the context here. Jesus tells his disciples that I'm going to go. I'm leaving you. I'm going somewhere. And his disciples, as we're going to read, they want to know where he's going to go, and they want to go with him too. And in answer to this, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the path. I am the road. I'm the trail to take you. But it's not just that. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we'll look at all of those eventually. But there's such a lesson here we get from Jesus being the way that I made this a separate lesson by itself. So let's start reading John chapter 13, verse 31. John chapter 13, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, excuse me. Now, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also be glorified in himself, him and himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you a new commandment, I give it to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Then Simon Peter, naturally, Jesus has said he's got to leave. And said, you can't go where I go. Peter answered, says to him, Lord, where do you go? And Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And Peter said again unto him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. And ironic, if we're getting into this lesson, we're finding out that's exactly what's going to have to happen. Where Jesus is fixing to go, Peter cannot go, but he will soon follow. Peter's asking something he really don't want. But Peter says, why can't we follow you? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Interesting response of Peter there. But notice, and here's that great passage here. Jesus prophesies, will you lay down your life for my sake? Jesus said to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Now Thomas steps in and says, Lord, we don't know where you go. How shall we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am this great passage. We all know this passage. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you shall know him and have seen him. Here's a great introduction to this passage here of Jesus being, I am the way. Jesus has told his apostles. He told his disciples, I am leaving, but you can't go with me right now. Peter says, but I'll lay down my life. I'll go wherever you go. I'll go. I'll lay down my life, which is actually what would have to happen for Peter to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, you're not ready to go with me yet. You're not going to go with me yet. You're going to deny me, but I am going to prepare a place for you. And told them they know the way, and they will know the way. And so we're going to look in this lesson about Jesus being the way. The way. And this idea of the way was something that was familiar to the disciples because, or would have been, or could have been. If we go back to Isaiah chapter 35, not 53, but 35. 35 is also a prophecy of Jesus. And it's actually a prophecy of New Testament times. And as we think about the way, this prophecy enlightens us about the way. And it's going to enlighten us about Jesus' work in the way. And there's a great lesson here. In Isaiah chapter 35, and I'll go ahead and back up to verse 3 instead of 8. We'll start at verse 3. Isaiah 35, starting in verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even a God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame man shall leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. It's just, you see the prophecies here talking about of the New Testament times when John the Baptist came and when Jesus came, the things were done, miracles were performed. Okay, that showed they were servants of God. Verse 7, the parched ground shall become a pool, the thirsty land springs of water, the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Notice here now. And a highway shall be there. Remember, Jesus is going somewhere. The way is the way to get there. It's the path. It's the road. It's the trail to get there. A highway shall be there and a way. It shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast. The way is going to be cleared. The way is prepared. There's no lion, no ravenous beast shall go there upon. It shall not be the ravenous beast shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, walking in the way. The ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with their songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. So we see a prophecy in New Testament time. The way was coming. There was going to be a way. And this way was going to be prepared. There's no lions, no ravenous beast was going to be there. All the obstacles would be taken out of the way. The danger would be taken out of the way. That they should be ready to travel. Notice the words here, the wording here. The verse 3, strengthen the weak hands, confirm, be ready to travel. Be ready for this journey because it's coming. It's coming. You have to travel on this way. There'll be excitement and joy for those traveling the way. Jesus is the fulfillment of this prophecy. Jesus comes and provides the way. The disciples ask him, where are you going? Jesus says, I will show you the way. You're going to see the way. You can't go right now, but I'm preparing the way for you. And Jesus did that. It's the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah 35 that the Israelites, if they understood their prophecy, understood their scriptures, would have said, oh, this I see the link here. They would study, most likely study these together and recognize that. Because see, in the wilderness, as Chad, if you get out and you hike in places that no trail exists, there's what we call down timber, downfall. You don't want to walk through that. It takes forever. And this is the place I've been. And that's not the way. The way that's prophesied in Isaiah has been clear. There's no dangers there. The way is clear. And you come along and like here, there's a big tree that was down. But you know what they've done? The way was clear. They cut the log out. So why? So you can go through. The way was clear. And that's one big nasty mud hole there. It's hard to get around that one. The rock falls, rock slides. The way is still clear. When you're out and walking, you go your own way. You run into these things. You cannot. Getting over and navigating through here is horrible. But if you're on the way, you're on the trail, it's been cleared and it's easy. It's the way has been prepared. The trail has been prepared. It's easy to follow. Can anybody follow that trail? We can, can't we? That's easy. That's right there in front of us. Look at that. And this is happens to be where I've hunted up in Colorado and does some backpacking. And the friends that I've taken up there are all worried about the trail. Are we going to stay on the trail? Are we going to know where the trail's at? Are we going to get lost? In scriptural terms, we have a trail prepared for us. We can get lost of our own accord if we go our own way, but the way has been prepared. The way has been prepared. So Jesus has prepared the way, And he did that in a couple of ways. I'm going to look at how Jesus has prepared the way, how he's prepared that trail, just like we see out in, as we hike and go out in the world, or even drive our car down a road that we want to go somewhere. It has been prepared, unlike I-80 right now. I'll tell you right now, there's construction all up down I-80. There's backup zones. If you get backed up in traffic, you got to slow down. You got to scoot over. It's I-80 right now is rough. But the way that Jesus is prepared is not that way. Well, first of all, Jesus has walked on the way. He has lived on the way. He's traveled on that road himself. And he knows what it's like to travel on that road. And the passages frequently refer to these. If they've not been committed to memory yet, I still reserve the right to use them. If you start quoting them to me, then I'll start having to do something else. But in Hebrews chapter 2, 14 through 18, Jesus has walked on this road. He has lived in the way and walked in the way. Hebrews chapter 2, starting verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself, being Jesus, also likewise partook of the same. He lived as a human being. Continue verse 14, that through death he might destroy him that hath power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the form of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. He took on the nature of man. Not like he's not an angel. He didn't come as God. He come as a man. Verse 17, therefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tested, he is able to help those who are tested as well. This is our Savior. He walked on that way. It's in preparation for the way and determined the way. He has prepared the way for us because he walked on the way. He is the way. And he walked in that way himself. In Hebrews 4, a similar passage there, a page over in our Bibles. We also see he sent the Spirit to provide the way. Now remember back in John chapter 14, let's go over there. The context there makes this link very clear, I think, to the disciples. They're asking, where are we going to go? Where are you going to go? How are we going to know to get there? Verse 5, as Thomas continues out of chapter 14, Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you go. How can we know the way? Well, if we read on down, in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he shall abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be with you, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he continues on down in that chapter, verse 26, about being the comforter. This is the same content. I want to know the way. In verse 12, I didn't read that verse here, but verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify in the Son. He continues that whole context there. Where are you going? Well, where I'm going right now, you can't go. But you will know the way, and you'll know the way because I'm going to send this comforter to you. And this comforter is going to reveal all truth to you. He's going to reveal the way. He's going to reveal the truth. And so there's a tie there that the comforter is coming and going to show them the way. You're going to give him that road map, that trail map, to know how to navigate and stay on the way, how to get, because let's say you went with me hiking somewhere, and I go off and I leave you. What are you going to think? How am I going to get out of here? He knows where he's going, presumably. And here you are, if you didn't do any research, you didn't do any studying, Ross. Your guide runs off and leaves you. You're standing here saying, well, where did he go? That's what the disciples were doing. But Jesus says, just hang on. I'm leaving, Jesus says. I've got to go. And he's prophesied that was going to happen. But Jesus said, when I leave, I'm sending somebody so you know the way. Somebody's coming back. Somebody's going to be with you to show you this path, to show you this way, to give you that roadmap. And that was the Holy Spirit. And that's what this passage in John chapter 14, that's exactly what he's doing here. And John chapter 13 says, I'm leaving you. The disciples say, where are you going? The disciples say, where are you going? And he says, I'm going to go, but I'm leaving you as somebody that's going to show you the way. And that way is shown by the Holy Spirit. The analogy continues in that Jesus gives light to the way. And if you want to continue the trail analogy, if you ever tried to walk in the woods at night or even on a trail or a road or anything else, sometimes it gets hard to see if there's no light at all. If it's a new moon where you don't have any light shining from the sky around you, it gets quite dark out there. Our eyes don't adapt to it. But Jesus has given us that light. For John 8, verse 12, just a page or two over in your Bibles there, the similar text. John 8, verse 12. Jesus spake to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So as we talk about walking on the way, Jesus is that light. He has prepared the way. He's given us that light. A neat analogy as well as we continue on. Jesus, continue back, and we think back to that prophecy in the Old Testament, Isaiah 35, that the way is going to be clear. The rocks, the logs, all the obstacles, the potholes, the river crossings, all that's going to be taken care of. When you come up there, all you got to do is walk. He's removed the barriers in our way. He's removed all those big logs. He's removed all those water obstacles, all those big holes. All the ravenous beasts have been taken care of. All you got to do is walk on that way. He has removed all those things. Some of the barriers that's been removed in the New Testament times was the division between the Jews and the Gentiles. The fact that there was no social interaction between these two. The Jews despised the Gentiles. And so that was removed as a barrier. But also the idea of sin in John chapter 8, if your Bibles are still open like mine is. John chapter 8, 31 through 34. That's a lesson we've talked before about redemption. We've been released from the bondage of sin. That is a barrier that's in our way to walk on the trail. Sin will not allow us to be on the right way. It will not allow us to be on the way. It reads there, and Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on him, it's verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you shall be made free? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Jesus removed the barrier in our way, that is the sin that is in our life. We are released from this bondage. That trail has been cleared. Part of that clearing is removal of the sin and the burden of sin in our life. He has removed that. So Jesus, in this way, has prepared the way for us. He's prepared the path. He's prepared the road for us. Now here, there's no preparation there. One of the Forest Service guys said, that's what you call bushwhacking. We just take off and go somewhere where there's no trail. It's hard, it's slow, and it's difficult. And you get yourself in trouble out and stuff like this. Fall and break a leg off of one of these logs. You end up in a situation. The Mitchells have talked about, they took off on a trail one time and hit it back. And there was no water. And they didn't have a good trail, it didn't sound like. But you can get in bad situations by not staying on the way. And that's what these disciples have been thinking about. Because they had roads just like we have going all over the country. They understood what it was like to take off and not go on a trail. It's obstacles are in the way everywhere. Our way has been prepared and has been cleared for us. Finding and staying on the way takes effort. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus makes it clear there that it's not absolute 100% easy. Even though there may be a clear trail, it's easier. It's easier than going our own way, but it's not still not without our effort. We must put effort into staying on the trail, into being on the trail that that's designed for us to walk on. We must put effort into it. In verse 13 and 14, about the straight and narrow way, verse 13, enter at the straight gate. The difficult gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go there, because difficult and is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. You know, our way, our road, our trail, it's going to go up some mountains. It's going to go down some big hills. It's going to go over some rough terrain, but though it's clear, we still must, to keep the analogy of trails, and as I'm using that, there's a difficult time. There's a difficult way. It's not always easy. But it's always easier than going off trail. It's always easier than trying to pick our own way. We cannot do that. And in Matthew 7, in verse 21 through 23, not everyone that calls me Lord shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those who stay on the way, those who stay on the trail, that stay on the road. Many will say unto me that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we done cast out devils and done many wonderful works? I will profess unto them, depart from me, you workers, you that work iniquity. It takes effort to stay on the trail. It takes effort to stay on the road or on the way that Jesus prepared from us. It takes effort. There is only one way. The idea of bushwhacking, when you just take off and go your own direction, you pick your own way. There is only one way. There is only one path. There is only one straight and one narrow way. There are no shortcuts or alternatives, alternate routes. I know as a kid, we'd go out and we'd walk the highway and sell for school. We'd go knock on everybody's door. And we come around and we walk, that'd be 3 or 4 miles, I don't know. And we knew where we was at. We knew we went straight over this way was our house. It wasn't no more than 1.5 miles away. If we walked the pavement, it walked all the way around. So this was easier because it was all paved road, but it was shorter this way. So we just out of, let's just go this way. Why not? All we got to do is miss this big lake. But there's, in Arkansas, the blackberry patches, briar patches, sawbriars, gullies, and whatnot. And that's what we did, and we missed because we didn't have a trail. Instead of going to our house, we went about another mile west of our house. Or north of the house, where we come out on the road. So it was still a little bit short. It's kind of fun, actually, in the end. But we have to stay on our route. We have to stay on Jesus' way. Jesus has prepared it. He doesn't want us to go our own way. He don't want us doing our own thing. He's already, he said, this is the way. This is the right way. This is the best way. This is the way I've cleared for you. He's prepared that way. There are no other routes. John 14, 6. No man comes to the Father except by Jesus. In John chapter 10, the parable of the door. It makes a distinction there that there is a way. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 7 there. Let's read this parable. John chapter 10, verse 1 through 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he had put forth his own sheep, he goeth therefore them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spoke Jesus unto them, but they understood not what the things he spake of. So we see that the way is prepared. In this case, Jesus is a shepherd. The sheep know his name. But who is that comes in the other way? Who is it that doesn't come in the way, that the right way? Jesus calls him in this case as a thief and a robber, what Jesus calls in this parable. Acts 4:12, there is salvation by no other. No other. And we live in a world where we want to have salvation. We as a people, as a nation, we want everybody to be saved. I mean, after all, we want everybody to be saved too, don't we? But they take it to the step that there can't be any guidelines that prevent other people from being saved. We just want everybody to be happy, be saved. Your morals are good as my morals, whether it's Buddha. What about Muhammad? What about any of these other gods that exist in the world? They all taught love. They had a definition of love. They had a definition of what was moral, what was good for people. We live in a society that wants everybody to be saved. There is only one way. There is salvation by no other. No matter how good a man was, Joseph Smith, no matter how good they were, and how great they were, how great their morals were, none of them are the morals of God unless they follow the way that Jesus provided. That is the only way to heaven. The only path to heaven leads through Jesus. It does not lead through any of these other men. we are not capable to set our own way. The apostles in John 13 knew they couldn't find the way. When Jesus left, they knew they couldn't find it once he left them. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is destruction. So there is another way, but it's not one we want to go on. We see as we talk about our lesson, there was a prophecy about the way, the path, the road, the trail that we are to follow. It was prophesied that it was going to be presented, to be strong, to be ready. But this way is clear. There is a way, and it is clear for those. Jesus himself done this. He walked in that way. He sent the Spirit to guide that way. He gives light for the way. He removes the barriers from the way, all the obstacles. Not that there's not difficulties, but he removes the barriers so that the way is prepared for us. Finding and staying on the way takes effort on our part. It takes effort. And Jesus is the only way. You know, just like the apostles, they wanted to know where Jesus was going. They knew they couldn't find it. And as we looked at some of the pictures that I used up here, that trail, if you want to try and stumble through all that, that's a difficult. That is not the type of way that Jesus prepared for us. He has cleared the terrain for us to go down, and that he's, as our lesson stated, made it easier for us to travel. Not that they're not hard, not that they're not hills, not that there's not valleys, not that there's not steep mountains we're not climbing our lives. But there is a path that is prepared for us and is clear and easy to follow. As we look back at John chapter 13 and 14, it's such a neat lesson, I think. As Jesus says there in John chapter 13, verse 33, "A little while I am with you, you shall seek me. And as I've said to the Jews, where I go, you cannot come." And then he continues on to with Peter asking in verse 36, "Where do you go?" Peter asked. Jesus says, "Where you go, you cannot follow, but you shall follow me later." Where he went is chapter 14. He's going to prepare a place for us. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And he goes on and tells the disciples there, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And he goes on and continues in chapter 14 and introduces them into the idea of the Comforter that's come. That when Jesus does leave and prepares this place for his disciples, that the Comforter will come and show them the way. And it's not ironic, although we live in a world where there's so many questions about it. As the disciples, as Jesus leaves and goes to heaven, Jesus goes back to the Father. Jesus goes back to the heaven. The disciples asked them, want to go with him. They said, "No, the Comforter will teach you all things and let you know about the way." And what was the first thing that the disciples done when the Comforter came upon the apostles? What's the first thing they taught about the way? The first thing they taught about the way was to repent of your sins and be baptized. And that's how we get on the way. That's how we start off in that direction of the way and get on that trail or that path of that road. That's the first step. And so when Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, the Comforter is going to come and is going to show you the way, when the Holy Spirit did come, the way he taught was repent of your sins and be baptized, as he taught in Acts chapter 2. That's exactly what happened in Acts chapter 2. And so that's the first step. So if you've not got on the way, then what is appropriate for you to do at this time is to be baptized, just like he was commanded, that the Holy Spirit taught the apostles. And the apostles taught the Jews in Acts chapter 2, repent and be baptized and have your sins washed away. And if you've had your sins washed away and you've been traveling on this road but stumbled along the way, you've taken a shortcut. You try to take a shortcut, you try to bushwhack, go your own way, and you've ended up in trouble. And that you've fallen off the way and you need to get back on the road. We offer you an invitation this morning to come and make your request known that we can pray for you and we can help you in that regard. So if you're subject to our gospel's call, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?